Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M Footy starts your weekend early.
Rugby league, we love it!
With every massive moment.
Stand up and applaud.
Great stuff!
This
is exquisite rugby league!
Is the Triple M Thursday scrum. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Morning to the latest edition of Thursday Night Scrum. I'm Wade Graham, sitting next to Jimmy Graham. And yes, you are correct. I'm not our usual host, but Emma Lawrence is currently running late from some weather delays in Brisbane. She's in a cab walking up Drive Avenue. So we're going to carry the fort until she gets here, rip into all this weekend's footy. And just before we do it here for Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks the footy. Hot water needs replacing. Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. Ask your plumber to install a Ream. Now, James, before we jump into the footy, I need you to critique my debut opener for a show. How'd I go, mate?
Waiter, simply sensational. If I do say so myself, it was sharp. You brought a lot to it. I think Ream, the sponsors, will be very happy with that tone of voice. And I think the listeners will be wanting to hear more.
Do you think Emma will be worried about her position as host?
I think she's got the listener app open right now and she is panicking. She's gone from that brisk walk into a bit of a, I better jog, because if Wado keeps going like this, I could be in the firing line for Thursday night hosting duties. But, you know, I'm not one to point fingers about being late. I mean, you know, Emma could have got an earlier flight. Or a different flight.
Well, I think in her defence, there were some weather delays and it was the whole aeroplane got delayed. So we can defend her a little bit on there, but hey, she'll be in here soon, so we'll hear from her. Now let's rip into the footy, the biggest story that we have to talk about. And there's no other word for it other than bombshell deal, that contract of James Fisher-Harris to go over to the Warriors, released two years earlier from his New Zealand contract. And I'd love to get your thoughts on it because, firstly for me, it's such a big deal because, number one, the calibre of player, like the quality of player he is, that's the first thing. You don't often see a player at the peak of their powers at a club who's had so much sustained success move. And secondly, the fact that it was kept so quiet, no one knew about it, and it sort of just came out of the blue. So what are your thoughts as we see Emma Lawrence walk in and about to sit down?
Yeah, before we get to that, let's welcome Emma in for sure. Emma, you've missed some quality radio.
Oh, she can't even get her headset on. Here she goes. How are you, Emma?
Oh, what a rush from the airport. Sorry about that. Very unprofessional. Whew, ran up Drive Avenue, you know, shows how unfit I am.
You know what was professional?
What?
My opener.
Oh,
was it? I was actually thinking Jimmy would do it.
Nah.
Because, you know, he's a podcast host. Not that you're not capable, but
Charlie backed the rookie. He threw me into the deep end. And listen, I was a little bit nervous. I was happy to do the opener, but then Charlie handed that sponsor sheet out in front of me and I got a little bit of butterflies. It's the first time I've been nervous since I took the footy boots off. So it's good to have you back.
Was there innovative?
Not today.
Oh, sorry, Jimmy.
So yeah, what I just asked Emma to Jimmy, so you're across it, is the James Fisher-Harris contract change, and I describe it as a bombshell, number one, because of the calibre of player that Jimmy is, and number two, because of how quiet it was kept between the two clubs, the player and the agent, and how fast it seemed to happen. So I'd love to get your thoughts on it, Jimmy, while Emma catches her breath, and we can carry on with the show.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wade. There's not many secrets in rugby league. My old coach, Des Hasler, was a bit of a master of those. But, you know, according to reports, James Fisher-Harris has approached Penrith on Sunday or Monday, and it's announced on Wednesday that and the deal has been done. If you believe what has been said, he goes in Sunday, Monday, asks for a release on compassionate grounds. They say yes, and then a deal is signed, sealed, and delivered and announced on Wednesday. So, look, the time frame to organise a deal seems short. I'm just saying
it does seem short.
Like, I know sometimes these deals, they can drag on. And I know this is a different situation. And look, it does seem like it happened really quickly. It really does. Like, you've got, everybody does. And there are no secrets. And it's... Look, I first and foremost, I hope that everything is as good as it possibly can be in terms of James Fisher-Harris wanting to return home to New Zealand. And if he's homesick or if there's, you know, other reasons, you know, he's leaving a powerhouse club that has the ability to be successful for the next 5, 10 years, whatever it may be. I believe they will be a club now that will circle in and around the top six for the foreseeable future.
Well,
so
yeah, not just are they successful, like, he's a big reason why they are successful, right? Because everyone looks at the dynasty now, the three in a row, the grand final they lost against Melbourne, and we're looking into the future about what, where the club is and what they can be. But we have to remember they had a lot of lean years before that. There was a year where they had a lot of issues, off-field stuff. They were down the bottom of the table. The years even previous to that, they were never in the eight or even just around the eight. The last time I remember seeing them play a prelim might have been Jamie Soward and James Seguiara and Matt Moylan at fullback.
So that was 2014.
That was a long time ago. And in between, there was a few lean years. So James Fisher-Harris went through those lean years. He was a part of the building blocks. And he was, well, let's be honest, any team...
A massive part of it, Wade.
Yeah, and any team who has success in the NRL, and I mean winning the premiership, you start with looking at the two front rows. Who is out there leading them in the middle? And, you know, obviously Leota's a big part of that, but Fisher-Harris, he's the mainstay there for so many years, and it's just such a big decision. But I think it can get done that quick, to be honest.
Okay.
I did my two last deals on my own at the club, and I got them done in... 3 hours sitting down with the coaching staff and
but the footy manager. That's the stake.
Yeah, but listen, but he's got a relationship with Andrew Webster already.
Yeah.
I think that deal was done between, not including James, six people at most.
Yeah.
Six people at most. I think you've got to cast your mind back to when Adam Fanua-Blake asked for a lease and he signed with the Sharks. And whatever situation that's around James and his family, where deep in his heart he thought, you know what, at the back end of my career, if there's an opportunity to go and finish in New Zealand, I'd love to take that.
There's also an appeal to go there now as well.
Oh, 100%.
Like, massive appeal. Like,
but I think that's where it started for him. He looked at that and went, well, now there is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think all the time and the water under the bridge has mainly been James probably talking to his family, deciding if I have enough conviction to make this decision and take it to Ivan, because there's no, he would have a sense of loyalty and a sense of love to that Penrith club. So I think it might have taken him 6 to 8 weeks to actually decide within himself to go, I'm gonna go and chat to Ivan and pull the trigger because this is what I want to do for whatever reason. And then once he made the decision and he speaks to Ivan, I think Ivan just goes, if this is what you really want to do because of the man you are, because of what you've done for our club, and the respect you have amongst our players and your service, I'm happy to make it happen.
I'm just trying to think, if you're a coach, though, and you get blindsided by this, and let's look at Fisher-Harris for... Sorry, let me just go to Fisher-Harris. This is a kid that came over from New Zealand, and I read somewhere he was living in a horse stable. Like, that's how dedicated he wanted to be. He was just, you know, that's the level of sacrifice. So he's come through in this Penrith system and he left New Zealand at a very young age. But if I'm Ivan Cleary and I'm a coach and one of my star players comes in, I'm going to ask them to sit and wait. Can you take some time? Because it's a huge call, and I credit Penrith for allowing it, but I think I would say in that position, can we talk about it? I know you want to go, but let's have a chat. Give you some time to think. Can you sleep on it a little bit? I know you're saying this wouldn't have been an immediate, and you know it would have taken weeks to build up to find the courage to go and even speak to Ivan to ask for something like this. But I think if you're the coach, you'd say, go and have a little think.
Yeah. Doesn't that speak volumes, though, about the respect he has? Because any other situation, they would have said, we want someone in return, we want a transfer fee. Yeah, I've never heard of them
No, the Warriors didn't.
Yeah.
And they let Adam Fanua-Blake go.
I think we'll get to the Warriors side of point of view. Because, and we're only speculating, right? We don't know what's actually happened. But I think this deal's fallen in their lap just by circumstance and because the opportunity was there for James to go over. And well, I honestly really believe that if he went in there and said to Ivan Cleary, mate, this is what I want to do for my family and for whatever reasons, I think he goes, you know what? You've done your job for us for so many years. Like he's done his actual job.
Yeah.
He's done his job every day he walks through the door. You're a front rower. You know, there's no days off for front rowers. Like when the backs are out there kick catching, mucking around, pretending to score fake tries. Like the front rowers are doing slab drill one-on-one. And if you're the leader of the pack, there's no days off. You need to be out there aggressive, leading the way every day. I think that guy has done his job every day he's walked through that door at Penrith. So when the time come back to say, listen, mate, I need something from the club, I think Ivan's just going, let me help you get over there because of what you've done for us. I'm going to help you finish the career you the way you want to do it.
Yeah, for those that say this is the end for Penrith, I don't think it is. Like, they've lost more important players than James Fisher-Harris. And that is Api Coruscant. He was the one, when he left, I thought, oh, that's irreplaceable. And, you know, and then Ivan Cleary has said the one that he thought he would miss the most is Stephen Crichton.
What about the fact that it's Luai and Fisher-Harris in the 1 year?
Well, again,
compounded by the fact they've already lost those blokes.
Yeah, two very, very senior players in important roles, but they're all important roles. The thing that it gives now, it gives Penrith, you know, some more money to play with and to be active in the transfer market. And I wonder whether, you know, had they have known this, they would have gone harder to keep Luai. You know, would they have gone harder to keep Crichton? Would they have gone harder to keep Spencer Lenu that left last year?
Probably. But
that's the big one, is Spencer Lenu leaving. You know, when you're looking at rosters and you're predicting, you know, you're planning for 2, 3, 4 years ahead, you're looking, well, if we'll let Spencer go, but it's all right because we've got these two, you know, first class.
Yeah, that's why I only think it would have came in the James Fisher-Harris head once Adam Fanua-Blake had moved on, and that wasn't until this preseason. Like, was it after January when he asked for leave, and it was granted in what January? And if I'm being honest, I think, you know, there was a part in his heart that when he mapped out his career, or when he looked out the back end of his career, he was probably telling himself, if there's an opportunity where I can go back to the Warriors and finish over in New Zealand with my family over there, he's got young children, take my children over there. And then, it wasn't an opportunity there. There wasn't an avenue for him back in because Adam Fanua was on so much money. Their front row, their forward pack they're settled. But then that sort of opened up the door. And he's looked at it, and I think he's been umming and ahhing himself for quite a while now, and it's only taken him till now to have the conviction inside him and obviously have the conversation with his family to go and broach the subject with Ivan. And I think the club has that much respect for him. Ivan and the footy manager and the CEO probably have that much respect for him that they went, mate, if this is what you want to do, let's help you out. And then there's the existing ties already with the Warriors. Andrew Webster was a part of that Penrith club for so long.
I like the look of the lad that comes off the bench, that Liam Henry as well. Like, Penrith have this ability to, you know, develop players. And from what I've seen of him so far in his limited time in first grade, like, he's only going to get better as he gets more experience. So, look, are Penrith going to miss Fisher-Harris? Absolutely. We've seen the impact that No Flegler has up at the Broncos and when they miss Haas. So, look, it's a huge blow for Penrith, but if there's a club that has the ability to, you know, absorb that loss, it's the Penrith Panthers, because they're used to doing this. They've done this in the past for the last couple of seasons, and no doubt Ivan will. I think as well, sorry, just on this year, I think it's bad news for the other 16 clubs, like really bad news. Because we look at narratives, you've got the Luai narrative, a connection with that community, and you've got the Fisher-Harris narrative. Like, they're going to want to send those two blokes out as champions.
Yeah.
So it's bad news for everybody else. They'll rise above, and they'll grow another leg, and they'll be determined to send those blokes out. So that's not good for the rest of the comp. Yeah, we've got Jared Weir Hargreaves leaving. That's big for the Roosters, but when you've got two of those guys going for Penrith, that's bad news. So, but just in terms of Ivan, he won't worry about, well, they'll be starting to plan in the background and maybe change styles, but obviously they've still got Isaiah Yeo, Moses Leota. They'll look to bring somebody, Liam Martin. So they've still got, you know, and they've got Cleary still, and Luai goes. They've bring either Tango, like, you know, they're if there's one team that can absorb the loss, it's the Penrith Panthers, because they've got history of doing it. Maybe they'll tweak how they play ever so slightly. We saw them play here without Nathan Cleary. It's the system. They need the right people in the system. They came to the Roosters, the home of the Roosters, here at Allianz Stadium. Nobody gave them a chance. Cleary was out. Oh, they can't win without Nathan. Well, their system just was too good. And the Roosters clawed back into it in the end, but it was a dominant display from the Panthers.
Yeah. I will just say this one thing before we take a break. James Fisher-Harris, I did an interview with him last year, just before the All-Stars, and for someone, one of the toughest guys in the comp, he started crying talking about his grandfather who was really ill. It was the last time his grandfather was ever going to see him play, and I'd never witnessed or experienced an interview like it. How much family means everything to everyone, but honestly to him, and I know his grandfather's recently passed, so I'm sure that's a big part of it. Anyway, we wish him well, James Fisher-Harris. We'll take a quick break here on the Thursday scrum, but very much looking forward to this evening, the blockbuster between the Roosters and the Storm. We're here now at Allianz Stadium. It's always a bit eerie before the crowd is let in. They're testing out the light show. It's an absolute beauty here at this new stadium. Waito, the Roosters really looks like they're really starting to build. They had obviously won that opening match there in Vegas, and then a rocky couple of weeks. But with the roster they have, they've had, same with last year, injuries and suspensions. But when they get everyone back, it's hard to back against them to be a contender right at the end of the year, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, the difference between last year was they probably had the same amount of injuries and chaos was in their squad, but they just weren't winning. And this year they've been a little bit inconsistent and they have dropped some games, but they've managed to find some wins in between that. And I think after last week's performance, watching that game, like, it was a real simple game plan. So they got that first half against the Bulldogs, which, hearing some comments from Trent Robinson, from Luke Keary, some of their senior players, they were really disappointed with that, as they should be. They let in 24 pretty cheap points early, which is so un-Roosters-like, and Trent Robinson is renowned for his defence. And I said before last week's game, that video session might not, that would have been really hard to take, and I think a few players would have been shortened up by the coach. And they came out against the Knights, and their game plan was simple as they chipped up their middle, chipped up on defence, their physicality. They didn't even have to get back and carry the ball because they relied on their back five, that power running, Manu running for a record number of meetings, Suwali, Tupo off the back fence. It really allowed their middles just to take a rest in attack and just chip up on that physicality. And the Knights are brilliant. I think they were probably unlucky that Kalen Ponga got injured and was really, well, practically ineffective in that first half because he was looking so dangerous. But they did enough to get the win, and from that, you can consolidate. You can take the parts of the footy that you liked against tonight, bring it into tonight's game against the heavyweights of Melbourne Storm, and then improve in any areas you think you can from the last week's game.
Yeah, speaking to listening to people in and around the Roosters camp, they don't want to be known as this slow starting team to the season. I think last year they came in as one of the premiership favourites. They were quite poor with some of their performances. I actually think even in some of the losses that they've had, that they've performed a lot better. But, you know, especially after the Bulldogs loss, it was so important they hung on for the victory last week. Like, you know, a lot of conjecture in and around the no penalty at the end of the game. We called that game, and I guess because there was so much happening, we didn't really notice it live, so you understand, but you look back to it and you think, you know, there's a penalty in there. But that doesn't matter. They got the 2 points. They held on in there, and they're 3-3, so they're in a decent position. And you know, we know they're going to be affected by Origin, but we know what this team can do when they come together. And I think they're still one of the premiership favourites. They've obviously had that suspension with Spencer Lenu, who will add a lot when he comes back. And Brandon Smith is playing some sensational football as well. James Tedesco, you know, at the start of the season was back to somewhat near his best. It was interesting to see them play last week they really favoured their left edge, and they went to the side of Tupou, and in the centre was
Poga.
Yeah, yeah, they were hammering that side. That's where they were looking to get Joy. And I just know when Melbourne Storm played them, I can distinctively remember that they looked to get after their halfbacks, and I think that's why Connor Watson's in today. So if it was Walker and Keary, I've seen Melbourne Storm go couple at Keary, shift the ball a couple at young Walker. So I think it's a deliberate tactic from Robinson to keep Connor Watson in there, bit of a bigger body, less of a target in defence. But they're up to their eyeballs today, the Roosters. This is a big game and a big opportunity for the Roosters to get one over Melbourne. Like, there's a fair bit of rivalry between these two teams. Obviously, two great coaches in Bellamy and Robinson. And we know that these two teams will be there or thereabouts. And I think it's opportunity here for the Roosters. You think back to the last time they played a big side at this home ground, which was the Penrith Panthers. I think they let themselves down. I think they know that. And they've got to come after this Melbourne Storm side tonight.
Yeah, I actually like them tonight here at home. Listen, it can go either way. They're both great teams, but I'm leaning towards the Roosters. I haven't watched all of Melbourne's footy. The games I have watched, it's been down in Melbourne. And listen, they're sitting four wins, are they? Four wins.
Four and one.
They're right at the top of the table, and we expect that from them because, you know, they're always there and about. But the performances down in Melbourne, they've been good, I think, but without being great. I think they're still searching for their best footy as well. And I just think, like you said, after that Bulldogs performance and the performance against Penrith, the Roosters have got their tails up at the moment and they really want to consolidate and keep trending in this right direction. And listen, I haven't been coached by Trent Robinson, but I'd imagine he'd say this is a wonderful opportunity for us.
Yeah.
To go against Melbourne, they're at the top of the table. Let's go out there and make a statement and put the rest of the NRL on notice.
And obviously, they're aiming to get there in September, like all teams are, and you need evidence that you can go and beat top teams. They didn't have the evidence against Penrith without Nathan Cleary. They can go and prove a point to themselves more than anybody. Forget the rest of the league and the competition and the NRL public and the punters and the fans. Go and prove it to yourselves, because I think they can. I think they've got it in them to do that with the strike that they've got. Their spine is strong. Their forwards, you know, Angus Crichton has got a new lease of life. Obviously, Joey Manu with you know, his ability on the ball in centre, fullback, wherever he plays. So, big opportunity here for the Roosters.
I'll tell you who they won't be out trying to prove anything to. All those super coach players out there. Doesn't seem to be anyone's interest over in the Roosters camp, super coach sats. So sorry for all our super coach players. Roosters boys, not interested.
What about the fact that, well, we knew Joey Manu, he'd said at the start of the year he would likely go to rugby, so we knew this was coming, but it's official now he's going to Japanese rugby. And reports circulating over the last 24 to 48 hours that the Roosters could be targeting Dane Gagai as a possible replacement. So Gagai is 33 years old. Newcastle apparently keen to re-sign him. We've got Manu and Joseph Swali'i obviously going as well. Do you like idea?
I do, Emma. They've got the guy coming in from Rugby Union, don't they?
Yes. Nwanga Nitawase.
Yeah, yes. Mark.
It's about Billy Smith too. And like,
yeah, he's had a horror run with injury.
It's like, if fully fit and if he gets a good run, he'll be a centre-off in this team, 100%. But the unfortunate thing for him, it's hard for the Roosters to plan for him long-term because he just hasn't been able to put a patch of footy together. He's had a horrible run of injuries. He was one of their best players towards the back end of last year when they made that run, that late run to the finals. So, you know, hopefully he gets a good period in his career where he can get out on the field, because I have no doubt he'll fill one of those centre positions.
He's been great when he's played. I think on Gagai, Emma, that Trent Robinson, he had that experience with the Morris brothers. And then
many said, why are you signing them? They're old and they're done, and they killed it.
They're past their best years, and I think, you know, he proved with them he got the best out of them.
And we talk about Origin even before we should. We talk about it in the off-season at times, but particularly this week because there was an official Origin launch, so Billy Slater and Michael Maguire were up for media and were asked a number of questions. One in particular for Madge, which has been the same over the last few months, is that number one jersey. So, Waito, James Tedesco came under a bit of fire last year. didn't have the best season that he's had, but it wasn't a terrible season. Still was the captain, still got that number one jersey. And once again, there are suggestions that, well, do you put someone else there? Do you put Tom Trbojevic, Ryan Pappenhausen? Latrell Mitchell's not playing at the moment, but lots of names have been tossed up. If you're Michael Maguire, do you stick with James Tedesco?
Yeah, I think he might, just because it's already a big change, changing the coach. And Teddy is an established player in the Blues. And yes, you can question his form last year, and maybe Freddie did pick him out of loyalty last year because he was the captain. But everyone has to admit, the start of this season, before he got injured, before he had the head knock against the Bulldogs, he was playing outstanding. He was leading from the front, particularly that game over in Vegas. Like, he was an outstanding... That was the James Tedesco that everyone knows and loves, and the ability that he has. So I think, yes, if he can come out in these next few weeks, this next month of footy, and replicate that, they will go with him. But Dylan Edwards is there in the background, and he plays a 9 out of 10 every week. And you can say that there's a thing about origin experience. Origin experience helps. But this guy's played in 3 grand finals. There's no bigger stage than that. There's no more pressure on when this is the only game that counts for the rest of the season. This is 10 months of hard work, and he's been involved in 4 of those games in a row. He made his Australian debut at the end of last year, albeit on the wing. So there might be an opportunity for Madge to get them both into the team. But I think either way, New South Wales are in good hands. But I just think if Teddy can play the footy that he did to start this season, I can see him edging him out at the start of the series. I don't know. What do you think, Gemma?
Yeah, look, it appears that it's nice to have these selection headaches for Michael Maguire, but you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't if you're Michael Maguire. It's a difficult predicament for him to be in, I think. James Tedesco looks like a man that's had a real... sharp focus, dedication and an attitude to come and attack this season, and also a benefactor of a full preseason. Let's not forget, like, this guy plays some football. You know, the previous years he's been involved in World Cup campaigns, you know, stop-start preseasons, and you know that as you age, that then makes the task of playing week-to-week football so much more difficult. So James has been fantastic to start this season, as has Dylan Edwards, as has Tommy Trbojevic. You know, with a new coach coming in, it would be beyond huge to go with a new captain at this level. You know, you only rent the jumper until it's somebody else's, but this would be a huge story. And you know, Dylan Edwards brings the same level of effort each and every week. I guess the danger is, you know, if it's that Penrith spine all the way through with Isaiah Yeo included, can Penrith beat Queensland? That's the danger. You know, is it too Penrithy? Can their style beat Queensland? You know, I've spoke to people in and around Origin, and they say that, you know, sometimes too many of that combination, it's too club-like.
Yeah, well,
why is that an issue?
Why is it an issue? Yeah. Because a club style of football, it's different. And you can, you know, only as an observer, I see that Origin's different.
I would just say on that, I think with Freddie as the coach, he might have been more inclined to go with the combinations. And even if the combinations were together to play that similar style, I think Madge would be happy to have that combination in there and accommodate the things they're comfortable with, but he'll have a particular style that he wants them to execute. Oh, because of his experience in clubland, his experience with the New Zealand team,
yeah,
I think he gets the difference between what club football looks like and what rep football looks like.
That's fair.
And I think with all this time to prepare, he'll have an idea in his head how he wants his team to play, and having those combinations, if they can execute that style and not have the clubland bleed into it. But I think Madge is probably, he's strong enough a coach and he has a clear clarity on how he wants to play, and I think he might be able to get the best out of him at that level.
Do you think if the plan is to switch the fullback position, it's automatically Edwards, or would you go with Trbojevic?
Oh, it's a big one. It's a tough question. Like, and again, I love... You know, I love Turbo in the centres. I love Turbo on the wing. right? And we've had this argument before, Jimmy, about wingers and centres. But in today's modern game, wingers can actually have more of an impact because there's more of a license for them to roam. They don't have to hold that edge. Or if your sense ball is going away, you can come off that edge. And no one does it better than Tommy Turbo, and he's done it before at that level, and he's the type of player, like we talk about Joey Manu all the time, you put him at six, you put him at centre, you put him on the wing, fullback, you could play Tommy in any position, honestly. Mm. He could probably play lock forward if you wanted to him, he's that big, and he's that, his footy IQ, he's that high. So yeah, whether, if the team strength is, can bring in, say, I'd keep Tedesco at fullback, have Tommy in the team, I would play it that way. But if you think the team's stronger with Tommy at the back and having two centres or two different wingers, but I don't see that at the moment in New South Wales. I see having both those guys in that team as being the strongest team possible.
Turbo's versatility, in a sense, can almost work against him because he might not really ever get that, like, number one jersey because he can play on the centre.
There's only one player that I can think back to that's like Turbo, and that was GI. Like, you could probably have 13 GIs on the field. Like playing all the positions. You probably have 13 Tommies playing. Geez, that would be a game, wouldn't it? 13 Tommies versus 13 GIs.
What about Latrell Mitchell? So Madge said a couple of days ago the fact that Latrell would have to be in a good headspace to be picked. And Latrell is, and South in general, have dominated headlines over the past few weeks. Latrell obviously is suspended. There were question marks over whether he wants to continue playing rugby league. Not sure if anyone else has floated this, but I did see on one of the podcasts during the week, our very own Michael Chammas said that he thinks Latrell should be on the bench and be the 14. Now, that's a bit of a left field idea, but if you sort of had to pick it today, where would you be putting Latrell Mitchell, if anywhere, Wade?
Today, today you couldn't put him in the team. He's suspended, right? And South haven't been going well. And
if he wasn't,
suspended?
Well, probably not, to be honest, because there's still other backs out there. You know, Crichton's playing well. Lomax is playing well. Jimmy, don't laugh at me. Josh Adokar, Turbo. Like, you got enough there. Tedesco, Dylan Edwards. Oh, there's enough there. But listen, like, where he is now, he's not where he's going to be in a month. Now, we know the word out of South is he's saying the right things. He's working hard. He wants to repay the faith that the club has shown him. And there's still time. Like, he gets back in, next week? Is it next week he comes back? And then there's four games. He'll have four games before Origin to show the selectors what he's worth. And if he's playing the type of footy that we know he plays, well, he's automatically that left centre. Like, if he comes back and he's focused and he's firing, even whether it's a fullback or centre for his club, like if the focused, hungry, team-first Latrell comes back and dominates the NRL like we know he can, well, he's automatically there. But right now, you know, there's others in front of him.
Yeah, that might be the thing for him to aim for, because by the time he's back, South Sydney's hopes of doing anything in this premiership year could be over and done with. So that might just be the catalyst for that change. In terms of playing him off the bench, I don't see that being a Maguire move. I think you've got to have, you know, if it's Coruscant dummy half, or it likely will be Coruscant dummy half, I think he needs probably a little bit of help there, because I don't know if he can do the 80. Or he, you know, the preference would be, you know, if you don't have an outside back, a person to cover a dummy half, I think that changes Queensland's game plan slightly to just target Coruscant and juice him out.
Well, that's the biggest sticking point. Well, the most crucial decision, what he does with a hooker. Does he pick an 80-minute hooker? Does he pick a hooker with some cover? Say, I floated the other day, Cam McInnes, who's actually a middle bucket.
Yeah.
But if he needs to play 10 minutes at hooker and then you don't burn a change, right? Because you get Appy back on and you've got a middle out there to play already.
That makes sense.
And then
he's a very Madge-style player.
Yeah, he had him at South as well. And everyone's a big fan of Cam that knows him. And then the other, the important thing is the makeup on the bench. How you see them getting onto the field. Because you got to plan for your perfect interchange. Like, things might happen and you've got to have cover, but you need to plan on how you're going to get everyone involved, because unfortunately last year we got caught in the trap with having Nico on the bench and we felt like we had to put him out there because he was on the bench. And then it came to haunt us in round one when he got caught out of position.
Well, it's certainly a good headache for Michael Maguire to have, that the fact that he's got lots of options, you'd probably have to say that Nathan Clear is the only one, really, that's definitely going to be there. But for now, Wade Graham and James Graham, let's continue this Origin chat because we know it's never too early to talk Origin. Gus Gould doesn't like that, that is for sure. But I tell you what, for Billy, you'd say his biggest headache, well, I would imagine his biggest headache is Kalyn Ponga or Reece Walsh in the number one jersey. Reece Walsh is the incumbent. Kalyn Ponga had a few issues last year with the concussions and had ruled himself out of contention. He is playing good footy this year, but it's hard to then get rid of Reece after what he did last year, surely.
Yeah, well, Jimmy might have a different opinion, but I think Ponga misses out if Reece is fit, to be honest. And then as well, depending on Ben Hunt and Harry Grant both being fit. So, yeah, I think he goes with the same spine. I think and the same rotation, Ben Hunt in 9, Harry Grant on 14. It's been so effective for them in the past, particularly in Origin 1, where it's not necessarily about points, it's about effort and going that extra mile. And I can't see him leaving Ben Hunt out, being he's one of the most capped Queenslanders now. He's been a part of that team for so long, and he no doubt has a lot of leadership for all those young guys in the team during the week. So because of that rotation of Ben Hunt, Harry Grant at 14, I think they picked the incumbent in Reece Walsh because of a series win last year, and he's playing good footy. So, yeah, if they're all fit, unfortunately, I don't see Ponga being picked.
I'm with you, Wade. I think...
Mate, you didn't say that off-air just a minute ago. You just changed the tune.
No, just hear me out. I agree with you in part. I think they
okay,
will.
In part, okay.
I think they will pick Walsh, but yeah. I think Ponga's playing better at the minute. He's had a better start. Obviously, Reece Walsh, not much you can do about a face fracture.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough. I think if you were picking not purely on form, you'd go with Ponga. I think he's slightly ahead with his ability to inject himself into the game. I think his kick returns are probably a little bit stronger as well at the moment. But obviously, you know, what Reece Walsh did at the back end of last year, he's likely going to keep his spot unless he can't get back to full form and this, you know, this fracture plays on his mind. But it didn't look like that. He just, you know, he needs a few more runs under his belt before Origin, but he'll be fine by then.
Yeah, I agree with you with the way Ponga's playing. I think he's playing excellent footy. And I spoke about the Roosters chipping all up on their performance last year against Knights, and I truly think they were lucky that he got injured because he was looking so sharp out the back. He was cutting the pieces on their right-hand defence, and the fact that he had that hip pointer and it basically became ineffective because he couldn't run.
Well, I don't think Brandon Smith scores that try if Ponga's fit.
And I think they find a few more points, 100%. Yeah. So, but I will say, I think Ponga can play that 14 role. That's where he debuted for Queensland. He came on and played in the middle. He did an exceptional job. He showed he's tough enough. He could defend in there, and he's really threatening late in the half, particularly with those big boys. And his footwork is, you know, in the elite level of the NRL. But the only way that happens is if they carry one hooker. So I think they'll definitely go with Ben Hunt and Harry Grant game one. But if they happen to lose game one in Sydney and they need a spark, that could be the potential change.
If Cameron Munster, I mean, he's back playing now, but if that groin injury is playing up or there is an injury of sorts anywhere, do you consider Ponga at 6?
And leave out Munster?
Well, if Munster isn't fit.
If
Munster's playing, he's in that team. Like, you just, Queensland have done it for years and a half. They don't really worry about club form all that much. There are some decisions around which players are playing better, but Billy will give Cam every opportunity. If he's out there playing the week before Origin and there's a 10-day prep, as Jimmy said, like, Munster will be in that team because you know he's the type of player that's going to, you know, turn up that day and play well.
Munster's a player that you trust.
Yeah.
Like, you trust him. You trust him off the field now as well. Like, you trust him on there and you believe him. So if he's not right, I think Munster's at a stage in his career that he goes, I can't do this. But I don't think it'll come. I don't think he'd be... I think he'd pick him and then it would be... just a case of his honesty and he'll be able to get, if he goes on there, he'll be able to get through.
Yeah, one thing I'm like we're saying here, this is all about game one. We're talking about game one, and game one is so important in State of Origin. There's some sort of percentage about teams who win game one go on to win the series. It's such an advantage to have, but just look at both these coaches, how competitive they are, who they are as people, their will to win. The team that doesn't get the result, there is always changes in an Origin when you don't get the result because there's other players knocking on the door. But more than ever, I think this year will be defined by whoever wins that first game and the changes that happen in game two. Because we talk about New South Wales and the players. Say Dylan Edwards isn't there for the first game, but New South Wales lose that first game. Well, if there's any time to change, well, that's the one. But if they get the job done, well, there's new life. Vice versa with the Queensland side. If there's a time to change, it'll be after game one and after a loss.
It's going to be interesting how Billy sets up the middle of the field as well, just with no Tino Fasu Malaawai. He is such a big loss. We've seen the impact that he's had by not playing for the Titans, but every time he puts on that Maroon jersey, he's everywhere on that field. And I know Queensland have some outstanding middle forwards like Collins.
Collins, mate, he's game in the last 8 months.
Collins, Cotter,
Papali'i, if they still need him.
Look, there's some, but
Carrigan, Fafita,
Flegler. Look, there's some, but Tino. Yeah, he's going to be missed.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Alrighty, gents, the big news of the week. A bombshell, really, in a game where absolutely nothing is ever a secret and journos find out little bits of detail and rumours start circulating and a non-story suddenly becomes a story. We hear that James Fisher-Harris has signed with the Warriors, wants to go back for family reasons and on compassionate grounds. It all happened within a matter of, I think, 3 days from by the time he called Ivan Cleary on Sunday, then signed a 4-year deal with the Warriors from next year. What does this mean for the Warriors, Wade, in terms of what they're building? So already in Andrew Webster's first year in charge, the fact that they were able to have such a successful season, they're selling out. This is the 7th game in a row they've got a sellout crowd. And I went over there, I think, about 3 or 4 weeks ago for one of the Sunday games for Nine. It is epic. It's like a Premier League football match where they're singing the whole time. Like, there's a real buzz and there's starting to be chat about, you know, should Union be worried about rugby league in New Zealand?
Well, that's the interesting thing that I'd really like to know about from someone who's over in New Zealand, because it's New Zealand Rugby Union has always been such a powerhouse and a dominant force over there with their success. And a lot of the great teams, not just in rugby or even in our NRL, like teams worldwide, you know, shaped themselves off some of the All Blacks, you know, how they carry themselves and how do they deliver as an organisation. And they shape some of the world's biggest teams. But you can't help but feel that the noise and the popularity and this swell of support over there for the New Zealand Warriors, you have to hear the footsteps coming, don't you, for New Zealand rugby. It's been unbelievable, this grow of energy and support behind the Warriors. And, you know, I'm not prepared to say that James Fisher-Harris will be the greatest signing ever for the Warriors. I have, you know, there's no doubt he is a great signing and it's an exceptional recruitment what would you say, bonus to be able to replace Adam Fanua-Blake with James Fisher-Harris. But I think when the call came through, because they would have looked across the league, or who can we replace Adam Fanua-Blake with? We've got X amount of money we can spend. And James Fisher-Harris wouldn't have been even in their radar because he was contracted for so long to the Panthers. So for it to come up that he asked for a release and the Penrith Panthers were willing to grant it, and then when the phone call was made to Andrew Webster, I don't think he would have had to think twice. Because he was involved with him at the club, at the Penrith club. He knows what type of player he is. More importantly, he knows what type of man he is. And I actually, I don't know the numbers, but I think they'd probably still win financially out of it as well. I don't think James Fisher-Harris would be on as much money as Adam Fanua-Blake. So I think there's still a little bit of change in the pocket for the Warriors. So if you couple the recruitment coup of him, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Sean Johnson back over there playing well, Charles Nicol-Klokstad talking about how passionately he was in the New Zealand Rugby League team trying to recruit the Māori boys and the New Zealand boys back over to the Warriors. It's just, wow, if there was an excitement already for the Warriors, and they're playing a wonderful style, they're one of the form teams in the competitions this year, so don't even worry about next year. There's still a lot to play for this year. Boy, after those couple of hard years through COVID where the team and the club had to relocate over here, aren't they getting paid back in dividends now of how well and how strong their club looks on the field and off it?
Yeah, it's actually amazing, the transformation of the Warriors. Cast yourself back, you know, a year and seven rounds ago, coming in with Andrew Webster, and let's be honest, a coach that not many people predicted to go well. It was a bit of a surprise to when he was appointed the job. The Warriors in nobody's eight, and what they've managed to achieve in that year and seven rounds, it's quite remarkable. The buzz around the country, they've captivated the imagination of a nation. They are all behind them. Now, all of a sudden, thanks to this, a second New Zealand team are genuinely in the conversation. That's on the radar for the 18th team, where I think if the Warriors aren't doing this, if they're not having the impact in the country, I don't think those conversations are being taken just as serious as what they are now. But then, I'll take you a few points, Wade. You mentioned about rugby union. I've read some quotes from All Black legends about how attractive and entertaining the game of NRL is. They're attracted to it. So a couple of things have happened. One, the Warriors have lifted their level of performance. It's an event now. It's sellout, which attracts eyeballs. It makes it look important. But obviously, you've got players like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Adam Fanua-Blake, Wade Egan, Sean Johnson lighting up the stage. You've got that happening. But you've also got the other side. Rugby Union are going through a lot of changes with their rules and their lawmakers, which has made the game less attractive. So it's something that rugby league and the power brokers need to bear in mind when we talk about stopping the kickoffs. Look at the impact of the rule changes that rugby union have made, all in the name of player safety and that spectacle versus safety debate that will continue on throughout sport and contact sport in particular. So that is moving the eyeballs to this game that is more entertaining, free-flowing, in play a lot more, less stoppages. That's captured the imagination. We all know in our product in Queensland, New South Wales, the north of England, we know how great it is. New Zealand, part of well. But now we're showcasing it to more. In terms of what New Zealand Warriors get, I think it's in terms of the swap between Fanua-Blake and James Fisher-Harris, Warriors win in that swap. Because the reasons why, I think James Fisher-Harris is a better defensive-minded player than Adam Fanua-Blake. I think Fanua-Blake's a better attacker, but I think Fisher-Harris is a better defender. Where the Warriors need, what I think if you're looking for Warriors room for improvement, it is in that defense, which James Fisher-Harris will bring, and also the experience of the man. So at the moment, they've only got two premiership winners, and it's been a long time since any of those players have tasted success. That's Tohu Harris, and that's Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Capewell.
And Kerr Capewell, a long, long time. So there's got three there that have tasted success. Capewell, probably the most recent. Fisher-Harris, well, he's won the last three. So, you know, the experience when they get to the... I thought last year when they got to the finals, they were poor against Penrith in Sydney. They moved back home, did really well, and then they were poor against Brisbane. And that comes down to that experience.
Yeah. I agree.
I think with Fisher-Harris versus Fanua-Blake, we can debate who's the best front rower. But who's the best front rower for this team moving forward? I think, you know, Fanua-Blake will do a fantastic job and continue to do so and will carry them this year. But I think with Fisher-Harris, it's a slight improvement in that department. Johnson will be another year older. So will Tuivasa-Sheck. But they've got some experienced guys there. I'm imagining your Barnetts of the world that will just raise his game playing next to such an animal in defence.
100%. And the last thing I'll finish with the Warriors is, you know, we've given raps to Andrew Webster already because of what he's been able to do and achieve with that club in a short period of time. And you look at the recruitment, he's been able to recruit some big guys. Roger, Capewell, now Fisher-Harris. But the biggest thing for me, the shining light for me, is the things he's done with the players, the existing squad that he inherited. Like these players, I'll go through the list, and you tell me if they aren't playing better footy since Andrew Webster got there. Sean Johnson, people were saying he should retire.
Yeah,
he's now one of the, back to his sparkling best and one of the most damaging halfbacks in the comp. I'll go through the list. Marcelo Montoya,
Yep.
Wade Egan?
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good, yeah, but yeah, the way he's playing now, yeah, the craftiness, yeah, is improved. Dallin?
Yeah.
Rocco Berry?
Rocco Berry is one that is catapulted from where he was.
Metcalf? Tamari, yeah, Martin? Mm. They're just, yeah, these are all players that he inherited as a part of that squad, and the way he coaches, his philosophy, whatever he's instilled in them, in whatever preparation, their approach to footy, their mentality, he's managed to recruit some big experienced players with big time experience, and they perform, big time performers, but he's turned those squad members into elite players who execute their game plan and do their job every week.
But it's hard to see Fisher Harris having much of an improvement personally under the coach of Andrew Webster. Like, it's hard to see him going from a 9, 9.5 each and every week to a 10 each and every week. It's very difficult to get any improvement out of him. But it's James Fisher Harris's impact on his teammates, on the community. Like, what a coup that you've got someone that's wanting to go there. Like, how long, like, and you look at the Warriors, their big signings in the past, one of the best front rowers in the game, that's from homesickness or personal circumstance, he's wanting to go there, which is huge, and his impact on his teammates will be the biggest thing around the signature of James Fisher Harris.
I'd have to say a blockbuster tonight. The Roosters taking on the Storm. For the Storm, Nelson Asifa-Solomona, his first game of the season, but a late change, so he's going to be coming off the bench, and Christian Welsh starts. Looking forward to seeing Nelson back in action. There was chat that perhaps he wasn't fit enough. Craig Bellamy wasn't necessarily happy with his attitude. Been playing reserve grade for a couple of weeks, so you would imagine that Nelson has a point to prove.
Oh, definitely. He's an established player. He's played on the biggest stages in grand finals and for his country, and it would have hurt him. It would have hurt his pride to not be in this team over the last few weeks, particularly when they're winning and having to play in reserve grade. But he's done the work, and he has an opportunity tonight, and he'll want to get out there and show his coach that he's ready to go. And he deserves to stay in this team. I think it's a good move starting Christian just to get through that initial opening exchanges, where it can be a bit crazy at the start of the game sometimes. It's helter-skelter, and just when the sting's gone, you bring Big Nelson off the bench maybe 15, 10 minutes to go before half-time, and you let him catch his first win and get his first contacts and first tackles, and then he gets arrested half-time and gets his second stint. So, listen, if they're the threat in this year in the competition, he's an integral part of their team. He's just that difference in a point of attack. You can tackle other front rowers and handle most guys, but guys his size, they just take extra people to manage, and he's a threat near the try line. He scores a lot of tries, and yeah, he needs to be playing their best. For Melbourne to go up against the likes of Penrith, the Roosters tonight, the Brisbane Broncos, their forward packs, Melbourne Storm need Nelson playing well, and he gets his first shot tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wade. And obviously, Coach Bellamy has made a statement, and no matter who you are, you've got standards to meet. So that trickles down to the rest of the group, that everybody's on board. There's no special treatment, which I think that's what's being a real foundation of Melbourne Storm's success over the years. Obviously, stories trickle out around the level of discipline and expectation and the leadership and standards and all that, and no one is exempt from that. So Nelson gets his chance. I agree. He's if Melbourne are to win it or go deep into September, I think they need Nelson firing. It's a big game for him to come into tonight, because they're not going to ease him in. Away at the Roosters, a big game up against Jared Rhea Hargreaves, Lindsay Collins, Terrell May will match him off the bench as well. So big responsibility for him, and even the big body, you talk about how damaging he can be in attack. That's not where the question marks in and around Bellamy's issues with discipline will be found out, or potentially found out, or you would become exposed. He's not going to be exposed by not pushing up in support or not taking the football when he's demanded of by his teammates. He get big people and unfit people get exposed defensively, and with the form that Brandon Smith is in, that's what will be worrying Coach Bellamy about, when and how long to interject Nelson Asifa-Solomona into the game. And We know Smith's been in some great form, and any slight being off of dummy half and markers, you know, he's there to take advantage of. So that's where Nelson's focus will be. It will be defensively, it will be tying in, it will be doing all the little things that, you know, the coaching staff at the Melbourne Storm will be looking at with a fine tooth comb.
And I think I speak for probably every rugby league fan when I say it's so good to see Ryan Papenhuyzen not only back on the field, but after one of the worst injury tolls we've seen of any player in the game, just slowly get, wait, you can see more and more confidence every week.
Yeah, you're right. That injury, this particularly that knee injury, it's like a car crash. The pieces his kneecap was in. It's an injury we haven't. It was so shocking because it was so rare. You don't often see an injury like that. When he hurt his ankle up at Suncorp, you know, that's ankles are quite common in the game, knees, shoulders, but that kneecap injury was horrific. So he's a talented player. He was their best in that grand final the last time Penrith were beaten. And it's great to see. And you're right, the confidence is growing. The way he talks to his team, the way he chimes in at the back, you know, he's a big reason why they're going so well, because they haven't been playing. They're not firing all cylinders yet, Melbourne. There's no way they are. They're still sitting in about third or fourth gear, just finding their way. Munster's been out. Jerome Hughes has been out. Papenhuyzen has been on the way back. So, you know, they're still finding their way. But, yeah, as a rugby league fan, it's great to have Ryan Papenhuyzen back in that Storm team.
Yeah, well, I know, obviously, when they played the Warriors at home, all the credit goes to Xavier Coates and that match-winning try at the death. But if it's not for Ryan Papenhuyzen and that combination with Katoa on that edge, I don't think they win. So Ryan Papenhuyzen, for the injuries that he's been in, he's not eased himself into the action. And it's actually, it looks as if he's advanced his game. So that usual half-back play, edge back row runs that hard unders line, Papenhuyzen out the back, either hits the accelerator and exposes the defender that moves into the lead runner, or you play your 3-on-2, go through the hands and you score in the corner. It's great to see this variation. We've seen it with, you know, Coach Billy Slater back when he was playing, where, you know, the variation, they don't know what they're going to do. It works well against a jamming defense, where the edge back row will then fade away. The halfback takes care of the opposition's edge back row, which then really opens up that space. And Papenhuyzen, with the speed that he's got, if you go half a meter out of touch from the neck, from your joining defender, that gap is unclosable. And Papenhuyzen is gone and he's making a line break. It's been fantastic to watch that development, and it's something that the Roosters really need to look at tonight. So their three defenders, their edge defenders, they can't commit to the tackle, lose themselves out, otherwise Papenhuyzen will appear on the inside.
It's funny you say that, because, you know, after we're talking about Billy and the Origin, his Queensland team, he just popped into the media box behind us to say hello, and you mentioned the coaching that he would get, and there was no one better than it at Billy the Variation. He's defended against him for so many years in the NRL, and the moment you think, you look up and you go, okay, yeah, there's a lead runner and Billy's sweeping out the back, we've got this sorted, they toss out a different variation. Yeah. Go, oh no, he's got us again. He was such a brilliant player, and he's passing all those tricks onto this Melbourne team, and in particular the fullback Ryan Papenhuyzen.
Did you tell Billy he doesn't have to pick the side because we just picked it for him?
Yeah, I picked it for him. I just sent it through to him. There's no Ponga or Reece Walsh.
No. Well, lots of stars for Billy to pick from, and lots of stars in action tonight as well. We're about 20 minutes till kickoff between the Roosters and the Storm here at a beautiful Allianz Stadium. Dan Ganane, your caller tonight. He'll be jumping in next alongside Wade Graham and James Graham. We're doing it all thanks to Ream Hot Water and to Macca's.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.